Good evening and welcome to The Big Fight, a show that is young at 22, the oldest running debate show on Indian News Television. I'm Sanket Upadhyay. Today's show is on an issue that should ideally matter to us the most. Price rise. Prices of petrol, diesel, cooking gas, piped gas, compressed natural gas, and correspondingly, the prices of vegetables, fruits, and other essential commodities, all of them seem to be exponentially rising. Almost gone out of control. Now, we've reported this enough that the petrol and diesel rates are largely fueled by taxes. It's the taxation system. I mean, as much as 33 rupees per litre is central excise tax. And then you've got VATs. So much is the taxation that if you remove this component, petrol will be about 66 rupees a litre. How amazing does that sound, doesn't it? And diesel around 55. Imagine. Now, that is the amount of taxes we are all talking about. But today, we are going to present a scenario for you. If the government continues to not act and continues with the massive taxes on petrol and diesel, what is the scenario we are actually looking at? Take a look at this projection that we are about to show you. Crude oil is expected to touch $100 a barrel. Right now, it is around $84 per barrel. So diesel prices at this moment are, petrol and diesel are around 110, 101 respectively. And if the government does not act, and if crude touches $100 a barrel, this is a projection, then petrol in Mumbai will cost 132 rupees a litre and diesel at 121 if the taxation remains the same. Look at this scenario. Now, this is only if Brent crude touches 100. If it goes beyond, these prices will go beyond. We should also juxtapose the price rise with the latest hunger index, where India is at the 101 position. This should be a matter of huge concern, as we are behind countries like Pakistan, Bangladesh and Nepal in the hunger index. In fact, we are just ahead of Afghanistan. Imagine. India's ranking is the worst in the neighborhood, behind only Afghanistan. So on The Big Fight this evening, on this Dashera weekend, should the fight not be to end price rise and hunger? Or is that, sadly, not a priority anymore? I would like to introduce our guests this evening. I have with me a noted economist and a political analyst, views lean towards the government, Rajat Sethi. Good to have you on the show. Sanchita Mukherjee is a financial and business consultant with us. Thank you very much. Gaurav Vallabh, spokesperson of the Congress Party. Shugata Roy, Lok Sabha MP of the Trinamool Congress. Anjali Bharadwaj, co-convener of the NCPRI. And Danish Ali is going to join us in just a short moment, along with Alok Watts, leader of the BJP. Let's begin with our first comments, 1 minute each for what we call the first punch. I would like to begin with you, Mr. Gaurav Vallabh. Your time begins now. 1 minute for you.
See, the major reason of the increase in fuel prices is the excise duty. On petrol, the excise duty in 2014 was some 9 rupees some paisa. Today, it is 32 rupees per litre. In 2014, it was 9 rupees a litre. In other words, in petrol, the excise duty increased by Government of India was 300%. On diesel per litre excise duty in 2014 was 3 rupees some paisa. Today, it is 31 rupees 80 paisa. So there is a 800% jump in the excise duty which was charged on the diesel. In last 7 years on petrol and diesel, the Government of India had collected 23 lakh crore. Where is that money? Why is that money can't be given as a direct transfer in the bank accounts of every person who lost the job during the COVID times? You are saying we are giving 5 kilo ration every person every month. Then why our hunger index ranking is falling? It means there is no money, there is no demand in the economy. And because of lack of demand, there is no employment in the economy.
Okay. Raja, before I come to you, Rajat Sethi, Shugata Roy, your opening comments, sir.
Yes. The central government has totally botched up the matter of fuel prices. They have found fuel prices an easy way to collect revenue for the central government for their harebrained schemes, including defense schemes. With petrol being charged at 33 rupees per liter at central excise, you've said correctly that if Brent crude touches $100 per barrel, then petrol would go up to 131 rupees per liter. Now, contrast this with the hunger index, where we have fallen to 101 place from 94 places we occupied under earlier, behind Pakistan, Bangladesh and Nepal. So only ahead we do of not Afghanistan, really sir. Know where all this, only ahead of Afghanistan, we do not know where all this money collected from excise. This is an easy way of collecting excise, where all this money okay. is going to.
Okay, Mr. Roy, I'm going to come back to you. I'm going to come back to you. Sure.
Economists have said that the poor people need to be given cash support, cash money okay. in their hands. The government has refused to do the same. So where has this money gone?
Okay, Shagaturai, I'm going to come back to you, sir.
This was just 1 minute on the people.
Of opening comments, and then you can elaborate on the point that you're making. It's important. Where has that money collected gone? Rajat Sethi, your opening comments.
So first of all, wishing happy Dashera, Vijayadashmi, to all of your viewers. As you said rightly, this should be the topic of discussion in the national discourse today. And over and above anything else, hunger index that has come out has thrown some questions which require some careful, looking and trying to probe before we come to any conclusions. With regards to the petrol and diesel price, Gaurav Vallabhji very conveniently only highlighted the excise price, but he forgot that VAT is still to the tune of 30 to 32%, depending on the state. And this is 30% of the base price, which means that once the petrol prices or the diesel prices goes up, all of these states which levy a percentage of that price actually increase their VAT. So they gain, all the state governments tend to gain in terms of monetary value when the petrol prices rises. Which of the state governments has stepped up and tried to shoulder the responsibility of the petrol okay. prices? None at all. Going forward, I understand that petrol prices will have a cascading effect on other things, and we will see retail inflation impacting. Correct. Therefore, it is prudent right now that all the opposition parties which are running the various state governments should come on board and should support bringing petrol and
yes,
diesel prices onto GST.
Everyone, including the center, Rajat, because yeah. the lion's share yes, of the central excise goes to the central government.
The best approach is, central government also shares its revenue 42% okay. with the states. Ultimately, it okay. is for the people.
Okay.
But bringing
okay.
it under the GST ambit is what the opposition parties will have to agree.
We'll talk about this GST ambit also in just a short moment. Anjali Bharadwaj, I want to come to you now. Your opening comment, because, I feel this has to be looked at from the prism of us and where we are as, in our hunger index rankings are concerned. Price rise and hunger index, if you put them together, it gives you a picture, a very sad picture of where we are.
Sanket, we are in the middle of a humanitarian crisis, nothing short of that. We know that in COVID, when the first lockdown was announced and subsequently the economy has never really recovered. We have a situation of very high unemployment. 90% of India's workforce is in the unorganized sector, which means their daily wages, they've lost their jobs, they have no way to feed themselves and their children. Now, look at this in the context of price rise. It's not just petrol and diesel. Prices of edible oil are at an 11-year high. Our LPG gas cylinders are at 900 rupees today. not just the hunger index. You know, of course, the hunger index is showing a very alarming figure. The Right to Food campaign and other groups did a hunger survey last year. And what we found from looking at 4,000 families was that 64% families said that they were consuming less lentils. The price of lentils has gone up. 73% said we are consuming less green vegetables.
Sure.
And 27% said they went to bed without two square meals. Hmm. Now, this 1 in 20 people that we spoke to, this is the real alarming state of
affairs. This is the alarming state of
affairs. The government needs to understand. Unfortunately, this passing the buck is not helping. The central government, the state governments need to do much more and control
Ms. Bharadwaj, prices. I'm going to come back to you. Ms. Sanchita Mukherjee, your opening comments and then Mr. Alok Watts.
Yes. So thank you so much for having me on this show. A couple of statistics that I would like to state purely from economics point of view. Yes, we are at a point in time in which the fuel prices are at historic levels. Unfortunately for the government, there's very little leeway that one can do in this kind of a situation. And I'll tell you why. There's almost 1.3 trillion rupees of oil bonds outstanding, right? On which the government pays close to 9,900 crore of interest every year. And when these oil bonds come up for maturity, then there has to be a kitty to pay back 1.3 trillion rupee of oil bonds, which the previous governments had floated. Now, I'm not siding with the current government or the previous governments. I'm not getting into the politics of it. This is a very regular way in which governments of the world float oil bonds to fund the fuel price increases and protect the economy. But the fact of the matter does remain that the government in the last 6 years has paid close to 60,000 crore of interest in the oil bonds.
Okay.
Due to which they have to have these taxes.
So on the oil bonds, in just a short moment, we'll have Mr. P. Chidambaram's interview also, where he seems to say that this claim which is being made by the government, in his words, not mine, is absolutely rubbish. So we'll know his context also in just a short moment. But Mr. Alok Watts, your opening comments.
Yes, Sanket, regarding the oil price increase, I fully agree with Sanchita what he has said. See, there are various factors which have, you know, escalated the whole issue. First was the second COVID impact, then the global crude price increasing rapidly. And thirdly, in the UP government in the year between 2005 and 10, they did not increase the price of fuel. Instead, issued oil bonds, which has now come, which is close to 1.54 lakh crores, which has now come matured and it has to be paid with interest. The interest part is only 10,000 crores and it has to be, and the redemption of the actual bond is only 3,500 crores. So that has to be paid, which has having a escalating impact on the prices.
Okay.
Hence, we are not to be blamed. We are just trying to pay the debt which the government has
sure. Okay, since this point has been made on a number of occasions that you are just repaying an old debt, I would like to now ask Mr. Gaurav
with
Vallabh.
Interest.
Yes, with interest. Gaurav Vallabh, how will you respond? This has come in
Sanket,
twice.
Sanket, I am having in front of me all the data in last 7 years, how much money of principal and interest is paid on oil bonds.
How much?
You will be surprised. It is 3% of what Government of India had collected in last 7 years. If Government of India had collected 100 rupee out of principal and interest, 3 rupees are repaid in last 7 years on principal and interest on oil bond. So this oil bond theory is absolutely rubbish, which is of not having any mathematical and financial and economical merit. Now coming to second argument, gentlemen who were saying that states were charging. I would like to tell your viewers, Sanket, that on an average, if Government of India per liter collects excise duty on petrol as 32.9 rupees, and most of that is in the form of cess. Sanket, what is the meaning of that cess? So that state government should not have any share out of that. So per liter, Government of India collects 32.9 rupees per liter as excise duty on petrol, and state governments on an average collects 20 to 23 rupees. This is the statistical data. Gentlemen, please check. On diesel, the petrol per liter, the excise duty government of India collects is 31.8 rupees and states on an average collects 31 to 18 rupees in between that per liter. So this theory that state governments are charging much,
I want to ask you this question. This has been raised on a number of occasions by the Congress party that the center takes the lion's share of the taxes, the central excise. And, you know, the version that seems to be given over and over again is that we are in a pandemic-like situation and we have to fund certain welfare schemes, and that is why this is a necessity. Is it a necessity? Or is this the only way to collect tax?
Sanket, I had
no alternative. One more. Professor Wallab, one moment. Let's take in a response,
Sanket,
and I'll come back to you.
20 seconds, then I will hear patiently. That is it a necessity to increase the tomato price from 20 to 80 rupee? Na tomato khane like choda, na kama kar lane khane like choda. The people of our country neither eat tomato nor they can have a kama kar. And always they are going states, GST. I will diffuse the GST theory also.
Okay, a little later.
In my next turn, a little later.
First, let's talk about taxes. Yes, Rajat Sethi. Rajat Sethi, is this the only way to shore up revenue?
Well, one thing that the opposition would never agree to is to bring it under GST so that the burden on the common man can actually reduce. The bottom line is that professor leaves his professorship on the side and becomes a politician on TV debates, which is fine. He is living up to the expectation. But let us not make this a political akhada and let us at least have some rational discussion on this debate. This is an important debate. The government's budget is placed before the parliament. Government has told the nation on the platform of the parliament that this is where we are going to spend money and this is how we are going to raise the resources from. Now tell me, Sanket, I ask you a counter question. Has the government increased the excise rate on petrol or diesel throughout the past year, throughout the pandemic? No, they have not increased it because they have laid out in the parliament that this is 32 rupees
a
liter that they are going to raise.
No, Rajat, you raised this point in the past also. I asked this question to many experts and they said that by this same logic, Mr. Arun Jaitley, the late Arun Jaitley, would not have exercised a provision of reducing taxes, central taxes. I hope
Most
you
certainly.
Recall in the year 2017-18, he reduced taxes by 5 rupees.
Right. So I
this
think,
after passing it in the budget.
Allow me to, I have answered this previously as well, and I would want to answer it even now. When the government understands that the fiscal position through some level of buoyancy coming in from GST rates and the other income tax shoring up, governments has that elbow room to actually go out and reduce excise duties so that they could meet the expenditure to which it has committed to the nation on the floor of the parliament. They need to meet those expectations and they are legally bound to do that.
No, that's
in order
my,
to
that's
do that,
my
they
point.
Either go out
is
and raise
is,
money.
Is
if
a
they
collection
take
on petrol and diesel the only way to do so? Only
no,
way.
There could be other ways.
And by the way, this logic never worked when Bengal elections were happening. Rajat.
So this
so there is
a you know this is very interesting.
Here.
No, this
Suddenly
is very
prices
interesting.
Prices were static. You, in fact, they came down also.
You know, Sanket, this is very selective. Let me tell you why. Whenever the prices are stable or they go down by 2 rupees, 3 rupees, you will never do a show on it because it doesn't merit a show.
No,
I understand that.
No.
But you
no,
will
no,
not
no,
do
Rajat,
shows.
That's not the case.
You
that
will
is
not,
not the
do
case.
Shows when the price comes down. I'm telling you,
the price
the global
marginally,
price, you,
came, marginally
you
came down and remained static while the Sanket,
allow,
Bengal elections
allow
were
me
on.
To, allow me to pull out a figure, plot a graph. Tell me that throughout the election campaign in Bengal, the global crude prices did not go up. It was actually static. And if you look at, I mean, we have to be data-centric in our approach. We can otherwise go on narratives, which is not going to yield results. As of now, today, the government can say, today we have we will collect zero on our excise duty. Where does it go out and fill that gap from? They will have to tax the middle class. The middle class will be further burdened and the further overall consumption-driven economy is going
one,
to be
one more. Shugata Roy, Danish Ali, Lok Sabha MP of the BSP is now also with us. Danish Sahab, let me ask you this question. Rajat Sethi and spokespersons of the BJP, other spokespersons say, well, this is a commitment. We need revenue. बिना राजस्व के गाड़ी आगे कैसे बढ़ेगी? You will not be able to achieve anything. How would you respond? Almost, they say this is almost like a bitter pill.
Is the petroleum products are the only this thing available for revenue generation? They have messed up the economy of the country, and now they are saying that only this petroleum products by not reducing the excise duty is the only option. ये कह रहे हैं कि भाई हमने पिछले एक साल में नहीं बढ़ाया, जब इंटरनेशनल मार्केट में पेट्रोलियम क्रूड ऑयल के दाम जो है एक चौथाई रह गए थे, तब तो ये कह रहे थे कि साहब ये तो मोदी जी की किस्मत है कि अंतर्राष्ट्रीय बाजार में क्रूड ऑयल के दाम एक चौथाई रह गए। लेकिन जब अब अंतर्राष्ट्रीय बाजार में क्रूड ऑयल के दाम बढ़ रहे हैं, लेकिन वो भी पिछली यूपीए सरकार के टाइम से भी अभी कम है, उसके बावजूद 60 रुपए के बजाय 110 रुपए पेट्रोल हो गया, ये किसको समझा रहे हैं? आपने नोटबंदी की, आप इकोनॉमिक फ्रंट पर आपकी आर्थिक नीतियां फेलियर साबित हुई हैं, और आप ये नैरेटिव आपदा में अवसर ढूंढ रहे हैं कि साहब ये तो क्या नाम कोविड की वैक्सीन जो है इसी के पैसे से लगाई जाएगी, ये कहां का मतलब, किसको आप मूर्ख बना रहे हैं?
आलोक वत्स,
दिस इज टू मच।
आलोक वत्स,
पीपल हैव रियलाइज्ड योर झूठ।
Will you respond to what Danish Ali is saying?
See, what Danish Ali is saying, it has no base.
Why?
He is forgetting the fact that when this crude prices were stable in a way, that time we were facing the second COVID impact. And look the way we needed money at that time to rescue
our
people.
Sir, I am talking about even before COVID came.
Even before COVID came,
you have not slashed down the excise duty at that time.
Are you aware of the structural changes in the economy that have been brought out by Modi government? The amount of road we have made, the airports which we have expanded.
Now you are monetizing that. After making the roads, you are handing over to your crony capitalist friends.
We are only selling the white elephants. Mind you, only the white elephants of the government to
ports,
bring in money
ports
to
are the white
the
elephants. Airports
yes.
are the white elephants.
We
airports are the
something?
White elephants.
You see, Air India was running in closures loss.
Now, if you
watched,
last week I landed in Lucknow.
I mean, now we have reached Air India and all, we are digressing. One moment, I need to come back to the point on price rise.
Is there,
Sanchita Mukherjee, I want to bring you in, Anjali Bharadwaj and Professor Vallabh and Shogito Roy. Sanchita Mukherjee, my question to you is this the only way to shore up revenue, or there are other alternatives as well? You raised the point on oil bonds, but as you heard Professor Gaurav Vallabh, he says that, you know, oil bonds constitutes only 3% of the total collection that we have done. So that's a very small quantity that you are supposed to repay, as opposed to the earnings or the revenue that the government has got.
I'm so glad you asked me this question. I was itching to answer that. I wasn't talking just about the interest component. There is a principal amount that needs to be paid, which is 1.3 trillion Indian rupees, which is a very substantial amount, which is outstanding, and it will come up for maturity very, very shortly unless it's rolled over. That's point number one. Secondly, no, I don't think reducing taxes. I mean, these price rises, of course, it's a huge concern, and I'm sure the finance ministry is worried about it. I'm sure RBI, central government, they're all looking at it. And possibly reducing taxes may not be a viable option without affecting the government's finances very adversely. But there are ways and means to go about. Some suggestions to the government would be to negotiate back channel deals with other countries which are not OPEC plus. You know, take, for example, United States of America. They're the world's largest importer, as well as now they're a net exporter turned 2020, right? Why don't we negotiate deals with them? Why don't we negotiate deals with United States of America to lift certain sanctions with other countries, which we have done in the past, you know, countries like Iran, Venezuela, etc. That is an option. Yes. RBI could also consider allowing oil marketing countries to reduce the cost of sourcing by allowing currency hedging, margin hedging, you know, without, which is a not-for-profit motive that could be done, a structure can be put in place. Also, you can have solutions like ethanol blending. These are a couple of solutions.
No, which is already which happening. You seem to suggest, Ms. Mukherjee, that short of reducing taxes, these things should be done. Because reducing taxes will create a problem for us. Saugata Roy, how would you respond to this? Because as of this moment, the bulk of the argument, even the purpose of this debate, is that the tax component is very high, much higher than what it was in the past. Ms. Mukherjee says that taxes are important. I mean, for instance, the West Bengal government also taxes petrol and diesel.
No, every government taxes petrol and diesel. Every state government does. But unless the central government drastically reduces excise and avoids the easy way of collecting revenue, nothing can happen on the fuel price front. After the center has reduced the excise, then they can ask the state governments to also reduce their VAT to some extent. The state governments are, as it is, very cash-strapped. So, they will resist, but we'll have to ask them. But the government has totally messed up.
Then where is that collective strategy? Economy. Do you think state and center must sit together and decide, okay, we'll collect this many taxes?
Please listen to me. In the last GST Council meeting, the center didn't even discuss the matter of bringing fuel under GST. They did not discuss. They could have, most of the states are ruled by BJP. They have avoided. Central government is just remaining quiet on the tax reduction front because it gives them the easy option of collecting taxes which have come to 23 lakh crores.
Okay, so you're saying that this is easy money, easy tax for the government.
Please, this easy money, easily collectible money, easy money for all the government's harebrained schemes. This is inhuman, the way they have increased excise, and this is inhuman, the strain to which the common man is put.
You know, my point now, is, how long will you go ahead with this?
Of vegetables,
if Brent crude reaches $100 a barrel, you will have a situation where petrol is 130, 140. This will keep rising.
Yes, they have to reduce it. They are avoiding the issue. Center, nobody in the center, Modi or Nirmala Sitaraman, is talking about the issue because as long as it's going, it's good going for them. But the country will burst out in protest.
Anjali Bharadwaj, I want to come to you now. You know the purpose of this tax collection.
I totally oppose.
Anjali Bharadwaj, the purpose of this tax collection is to carry out welfare schemes.
They are selling all their property.
Among the most important that the government highlights.
What welfare scheme?
Okay, Saugata Roy, I'm going to come back to you.
What welfare scheme? They have not given a single rupee. They have not given a single rupee as cash support. Cash subsidy to the poor people.
Sure. Now that's an important point which I want to raise with Anjali Bharadwaj. You see, one of the reasons that the government says that we need these taxes is to feed the poor, carry out our welfare schemes. Now, when you juxtapose this with the hunger index, it almost appears as if we've not achieved the end result. Because otherwise it would have reflected in a hunger index. No, we would not have been this hungry. The government does say that we are feeding 80 crore poor, giving them rations. But is it reaching or is it solving the purpose?
So, Sanket, I'm going to make two quick points.
Yes.
Please give me time to do that. First, the way in which taxes are being increased and public funds are being raised is the most perverse way of doing it as far as the poor are concerned. If the government needs to raise funds, this is not the way to go about it. Diesel prices going up, petrol prices going up basically means vegetable prices going up, edible oil prices going up, and which hits the poorest the most. So when you increase taxes like this, it has a cascading effect which impacts the poorest the most. This is no way of increasing taxes. If funds have to be raised, there is property tax, there's inheritance tax. Bring in new ways of taxation. We have such horrible income inequality in our country. find ways to tax the rich, not the poor and the middle income people. Secondly, in terms of this whole thing of the government having to give money to feed the poor, I'm sorry, food insecurity is at an all-time high in our country. We have a National Food Security Act under which there are people who have ration cards. The PMGKAY is giving extra 5 kilograms of grain per month. It's coming to an end on Diwali in November. What are people going to do to feed their families after that? Very with this important. Kind of price inflation? We are in double digits for the sixth month. Again, what about ration people who don't have ration cards, migrant workers? I mean, even yes. the Supreme Court had to take cognizance. And what has the central government done? The last time they came up with the Atmanirbhar scheme.
Okay.
Please tell us, what have they done this time? Have the poor not got to feed their families if they don't have a ration card? Nothing
so it is,
has
it
been
is
done
very
so
obvious
far.
From what you're saying, Ms. Anjali
And
Bhargavaj.
Last point, Sanket, on
very
this.
Quickly, ma'am.
The food basket. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't. We are talking about the right to food, which has been upheld as a fundamental right. It's not just the right to have ration in terms of wheat or rice. What about lentils? What about vegetable
you made
oil?
This point. Yes.
We've been saying that increase the food basket. People can't afford any of this.
Okay.
What are
so,
they
so while,
to feed
while
the
we
children?
Discuss all other things, it's pretty obvious that this is what we need to be outraging about. This Dashera, let's take a pledge to kill price rise and hunger. Can we do that? Or is this just not something which is outrage worthy or needs to be spoken about? We feel that this is the most important thing to be spoken about. Thank you very much to all of you all for joining us. I have with me now the former finance minister, Mr. P. Chidambaram. Mr. Chidambaram, thank you very much for joining us. If the government does not intervene, now by way of reducing taxes, there could be a possibility of petrol and diesel prices crossing even 130, 135. Do you think that the government must intervene? Or why is the government not intervening?
Intervention by whom? The government is most greedy. It is the government that should intervene and bring down the prices. And the way to do it is quite straightforward. It is to reduce the central taxes and then persuade the states to reduce the taxes. But the central government increases the taxes practically every day or every other day, because it's the greediest government I've come across. It relies on a single source of revenue to sustain its expenditure. Mm. It is collecting today 33 rupees a litre on petrol and 32 rupees a litre on diesel, which is extortion.
Okay. Mr. Chidambaram, the government's argument is that this is a crucial way of funding the welfare schemes, particularly in a COVID scenario, a sort of a bitter pill.
You have options. If you don't know what the options are, I think you should consult tax economists and other economists to know the other sources of revenue. There are other taxes which can be modulated to increase the revenue. But you surely can't squeeze a regressive tax. Please remember, taxes on petrol and diesel are regressive taxes. If a rich man buys a liter of petrol and a poor man buys a liter of petrol, they pay the same tax. It is a regressive tax. You should increase progressive taxes.
Okay. Okay. Mr. Chidambaram, many representatives who defend the government's position say that there are hardly any alternatives. Would you suggest some?
Of course there are alternatives. How did we run the government for 10 years? We didn't increase the taxes on petrol and diesel to such astronomical heights. How do other countries run their governments? Government must rationalize expenditure and find the revenues to meet that expenditure through progressive taxes. I'm not going to suggest to the government what taxes it can impose. Mm. Because then they will say the opposition wants taxes to be imposed. Mm. I'm saying the broad philosophy is regressive taxes must be kept low and progressive taxes must be increased.
Okay, now you talk about progressive taxes. Now the government has made many appeals that there is talk of petrol and diesel being brought under the GST, a proposal from the government which was completely dumped by many state governments, including many state governments headed by the Congress party. So do you think that the challenge is not just with the center, but also with states?
No, I don't think the central government proposed inclusion of fuel in the GST to reduce taxes. I think they wanted to take control over taxes on petrol and diesel. Please remember the way the GST Council is operating today, the opposition parties are outnumbered. Opposition party governments are completely outnumbered. Their suggestions have been given short shrift. A team of officials have usurped the powers of the GST Council. And all this is set out in the Punjab Finance Minister, Mr. Manpreet Badal's letter, and in the Tamil Nadu Finance Minister's letter. Please see those letters. Having reduced the opposition party governments to a virtual cipher in the GST Council, if the central government wants to bring more items under the GST, obviously the opposition party governments will oppose it. But believe me, even the ruling party state governments opposed it, because they also privately tell us that their autonomy of taxation is completely taken away.
Okay. Now, Mr. Chidambaram, correct me if I'm wrong. I think I heard the word extortion in an earlier part of this interview. Why would you call the increase in petrol and diesel prices by way of taxes extortion?
Because look at the proportion which the OMC gets, which the central government gets, and which the state government gets. Today, in a price of, say, 102 rupees, the OMC gets 42 rupees. That includes crude oil, processing of crude oil into petrol and diesel. Central government gets 33 rupees. For doing what? Nothing. It adds no value. It just imposes a tax and collects it. The state government gets 24 rupees and the dealers, etc., get 4 rupees. 33 rupees in a price of 102 is 33%. One third of the price of petrol that the consumer pays is a tax to the central government. 33% taxation on any commodity is, in my view, extortion. If you come to diesel, it is 32% of the final price. And actually, it's a little more than 32%, 32 rupees, but it is almost 34%. It's extortion.
Mr. Chidambaram, now, since you have leveled an allegation, there is an allegation against the UPA as well, that the burden on this government is by way of oil bonds, which was a legacy from the UPA rule.
Complete rubbish. Financial illiteracy. I have pointed it out before that whether the government borrows or its surrogate borrows, a government-owned oil company borrows, it's the same. Because ultimately, the government assumes a liability to pay both the interest and the principal amount. So all that we did was leverage the balance sheet of the oil marketing companies to raise some money with a clear stipulation that the interest will be borne by the government and the principal will be repaid by the government. So it makes no difference at all whether the government borrows or the surrogate oil marketing company borrows. Besides, the numbers are out. The annual liability is only the interest liability. The bullet payment comes at the end. Those numbers, I don't have it right at the moment with me, but I had it some time ago. The numbers show that the amount that they have to pay as interest every year is a fraction of the total interest payment of the government of India. This is complete financial illiteracy,
okay,
which is the most charitable explanation. The other one is malicious propaganda.
Okay. Mr. Chidambaram, how would you respond to the Global Hunger Index, where India's ranking is now lower than many other developing countries in the neighborhood? Some of the experts say that what is contributing to this hunger index is actually skewed planning and heavy taxation. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would. We cautioned the government 2 years ago. When the pandemic broke out, we cautioned the government. If jobs are lost, incomes are lost. If incomes are lost, people do not have enough money to spend on food. At the same time, there is the disease itself which debilitates the human body. And people have to spend more on medicines, preventive as well as curative. Therefore, we pleaded that there should be direct cash transfers to the bottom of the pyramid, namely the bottom 20% or 15% or 25%. We also pleaded that free rations must be given in a larger degree, larger amounts to a larger proportion of the people. Mm. Now, both suggestions were turned down, very, very contemptuously turned down. As a result of that, this is an expected outcome, that there is more hunger, more malnutrition, more stunting, more wasting among our children than they should have been. This is the direct result of the government's callousness in not making direct cash transfers and not giving more free rations to more people.
Hmm. Mr. Chidambaram, my final question, and this I've been meaning to ask. Whatever you seem to be saying right now, or we are discussing, seems to be very divorced from the way the markets respond. The BSE Sensex, for instance, is at 61,000 plus, and also looking at, you know, a booming scenario in the future. Many people are very bullish, as they say. Now, this does not match with what you seem to be saying or suggesting. Why?
They are. And I learned this lesson very early in my tenure as a finance minister. The market is reflecting the health of 100 companies and the health of the investors. It does not reflect the health of the economy in the sense that 99% of the people of India are nothing to do with this market boom. Therefore, don't sell. While we should be happy that the stock market is doing well because it has other upsides, don't celebrate it as a mark of the nation's economy's health. They have nothing to do with each other. Therefore, let's look at indices which point to the health of the nation's economy, health of the people. The hunger index is one such index. The decline in the per capita income is another index. The consumption on food is another index. Hmm. The prices of vegetable and fruit is another index. Those are the indices which should be looked into to see whether people have enough food and people are in good health. The unemployment index is another index. Hmm. Please look at that. Look at the CMIE data, because there's no other data. The government does not put out the periodic labor survey. Look at those indices which point to the health of the 100% of the people, not only of 100 companies of India.
All right, Mr. Chidambaram, thank you very much for joining us. With that, we come to the end of this edition of The Big Fight. Happy Dashera to everyone. But this Dashera, as is the theme of this show, let's kill price rise and hunger. Thank you very much for watching. News continues on the other side.